From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
Welcome into the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with you. Plenty to get to today. Of course, Allen Hurns in studio, Jaguars wide receiver. We'll hear from the second-year receiver coming up. Training camp is next on the schedule. We'll play a game of this or that with Brian Sexton as well. You can get in on the show at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice, and at Jaguars. And we welcome in our first guest today, wide receiver Allen Hurns. It's good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Can't complain.
What is your social, too? You're a Twitter guy, right?
Yes. A1 Hurns. It's the same thing on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, you're an Instagram guy, too.
Yeah.
That's a good sign, because we have Instagram questions for you coming up a little bit later.
And your mom's on Twitter, too, right?
Oh, yeah. She's all over it, man. Twitter and Instagram. She'd be on it more than me.
I got some messages from her last year. Mostly good. Mostly
okay.
Good.
Well, tell us about the off season so far. You wrote a story about Allen a little while back about the off season and the schedule and the work you've been putting in so far. Do you feel like it's paying off so far in this off season?
No doubt. You know, first time I had a true off season, you know, last year coming in, you know, you had the combine, then you had pro day and things like that. So this year you was able to get time off, but then have a plan, like know what you want to get accomplished as far as, oh, you go run routes this day, you go take this day off, just knowing how to treat your body and things like that. So it's just getting in the routine of how you're going to get things done.
Is that something that you've always, I mean, since the beginning of this offseason, yeah, it struck me that you're kind of a, I don't know what the term for it is, gym rat in basketball, but you've been here since the beginning, and you've been here, and I guess sort of see you all the time. Is that your nature, or was this something that you said, okay, this offseason I need to do this?
It's something I said this offseason I need to do this, as far as, you know, I said I wanted to get stronger. You know, last year, halfway through the season, I was like, it's a long season. Mm-hmm. So my emphasis was that I want to be available all 16 games. So right after the season, I said I wanted to get stronger and work with the strength staff and things like that. Also, work on my route techniques as far as getting separation on route, in and out of my breaks and things like that. So I have my mind made up after the season that I was going to get that done.
Tell me about the difference where you are right now, not necessarily on the field, but in life, in your comfort level walking around these halls as compared to this time last year.
Oh, that's crazy. you know, just going into year two, me and Adam Robinson, we talk about this all the time. Like the confidence you have now from year one, like you know what to expect. You get in a routine. Like, what you're going to get done. Just playing with that confidence out there, you know, a lot of the things as far as the coverages, all that, is moving slower for you now because you know what to expect. You're just seeing a lot of things. So the confidence level for me and Allen Robinson, we've been talking about that a lot.
And you and Allen and Marquise Lee came in together. That's always the kind of the trio everybody talks about. But that's a real thing, right? You guys come in, you work together, and now it's year two. The group kind of growing as one, right?
No doubt. You know, the relationship that we've grown since we've been here, it's been tremendous as far as just off the field things like our mindset. You know, this year coming into it, you know, last year everybody was always saying, oh, we're young. This year they probably going to say we don't have a veteran. We told ourselves we're not going to make that as an excuse. We're going to step up to the plate. We got to make the plays when they come our way.
Tell us about the relationship with Blake Bortles and what I know there's a lot of work in the offseason away from the stadium that you guys do on your own. How has that gone and how much have you done so far?
Oh, it's been going great. You know, we've been throwing 3 days out of the week as far as just getting the chemistry, you know, talking certain things out. If we get man coverage, if he's playing tight, you're going to take it high or you're going to break it off and things like that. It's just certain things you got to talk throughout that you're going to see throughout the season and things like that. So that's going tremendous.
How much does that help? You know, it's not against defenders necessarily.
Yeah.
It's not in pads. But how much can you draw from that once the season gets going? And I assume it's not something that you had this sort of repetition last year.
Oh, no, not at all. You know, so it's going to be real key, you know. Yeah, we don't have a defender out there or we're not seeing different coverages, but we could talk through things now. Mm-hmm. So when we do get in that situation, we know, like, we could be on the same page. Like, if we get covered too and the safety's playing high, roll out of it and break it off shorter and things like that. It's just certain instances that we could talk throughout. But yeah, we can't see it out there on the field, but we're getting a feel for it.
And you're giving up some time off. I mean, it's something where you're dedicating yourself to your craft. But I assume when you're out there, right now, there's nowhere else you'd rather be.
No doubt at all. You know, I'm to a point where I don't consider it work. You know, I know receiver is a work of art. You know, we be out there putting in the work, and it's not like, oh, we forcing ourselves to do it. Mm-hmm. It's something we want to get done. You know, we had a plan once we broke minicamp as far as the receivers, so we sticking to it, and we having fun with it.
And are you tired of hearing about the veteran receiver thing?
I mean, oh, yeah.
You kind of brought it up, and it's something yeah. I write. Everybody sort of talks about it. You need a veteran receiver in that room. But it sounds like you guys, maybe a little bit of a rallying point.
Oh, yeah, we're tired of, you know, because it's not like high school where you can say, oh, these guys going to play junior varsity, this guy's going to play varsity. We're in the NFL. It's time to play.
That's funny, yeah, because you brought that up. And how? When did that start to bother you guys? Has it always bothered you guys, that veteran receiver thing?
I would say probably midway throughout the season, you know, when we kept hearing it, oh, you guys young, it's going to take time. And it was just getting frustrating as far as, you know, we wasn't winning a lot of games, and people were saying, oh, we're young, like, we don't want to use that as an excuse. You know, at the end of the day, we got to get it done, you know, and that comes on responsibility for everybody. It's the O-line, it's the receivers, the quarterback, it's everybody.
You said your off-season plans are here in Jacksonville to kind of stick around, right? Are you traveling anywhere, or are you going to stay here and just work?
I'm staying here and just work. You know, I was going to do the Fitzgerald camp, man, out of Robinson, but we told ourselves that we like what we have here as far as just getting the chemistry with Blake and the strength staff, so we're going to stay here and get that work in.
I know you're a social media guy, A1 Hearns, right?
Correct.
I got it right.
Yeah. Correct.
How about that? Let's go to Instagram and get some fan questions in today. Jeffrey Pack asking, what have you worked on most during this off season?
I'll say route running. Far as I throw 3 days out of the week with Blake, but besides that, you know, every day I have specifics as far as what I want to get done. If it's work your speed turns, your comeback routes, and things like that. So I've been working on that a lot because when it comes down to it, it comes down to getting separation and also make the catch.
Drew Dizzle 2000. Well, I don't know what kind of name that is. Do you get extra motivation from going undrafted? Do you think about that still?
That's going to always be with
you
me.
You think about it.
That's going to always be with me. No lie, it's going to always be with me. You know, they say at the end of the day it don't matter. It really doesn't. But, you know, some days I just wake up. It's like, I don't know what that feeling is, whether to be drafted. So I feel like that's going to always be with me. As far as motivation, that comes from within. You know, just as far as me holding myself to a higher standard and not want to let the people around it down me. So that's pretty much it.
And it's also something where you sort of know that you got to keep working every day to make this happen. You know it's not going to be handed to you.
No doubt. No doubt about that. You know, it's a nonstop grind, you know. Each day you got to prove yourself. You can't come out here 1 week, have a good week, and then next week you kind of have a bad week. You know, you got to stay consistent. That's all mm-hmm. it's about.
A few more questions here from the fans. Walker T.S. asking, how is having veteran tight ends Julius Thomas and Mercedes Lewis leading the way going to help you and the rest of the receiving core? An added weapon on offense with Thomas in there now. How does that help you guys on the outside?
No doubt. You know, that's going to be key, you know, because Julius Thomas and Mercedes Lewis, those great guys, they make a lot of plays. So as far as I think them guys going to bring pressure to the defense as far as we're going to get one-on-one coverage outside.
Another question from, I guess this is Georgia Cowboy, GA Cowboy. What's life like out of football, for example, at home with friends now that you're in the NFL? How often do you get to see friends from back home or family, your mom, or how does that work?
As far as friends back home, I don't go back home so much. I'm pretty much here. But far as other than that, I spend my time with my family, my mother and my brother down here. So I spend time with them as much as I can. When I'm done working out, I go over to my mom's house, spend time with them.
I'm guessing Georgia Cowboy and D Sizzle are not the same guy.
Probably not. That's a safe bet, John. Thanks for that contribution. Steel Falcon 42. We're going to finish strong here, Alan. Be ready for this. If you could be one animal for a day, what animal and why? Fans or fans?
So I could be one. I'll probably go with the iguana so I could be camouflaged.
That's a good answer.
That's a pretty good one.
I like that.
Very nice. Alan, it's great to see you. We really appreciate you coming in, man.
My pleasure.
Alan Hearns joining us.
Take a couple of days off.
Yeah. Get some rest, will you? Alan Hearns, Jaguars wide receiver, joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Of course, the Jags will have 10 practices open to the public this training camp, starting Friday, July 31st. That includes the Monday, August 3rd practice at Bandarin High School under the lights, and the scrimmage at Everbank Field Saturday, August 5th. Fans must register. Jaguars.com/training camp events. You got to register for those free tickets. JP Shadrick, John Osier, and Brian Sexton is here now.
Hello.
Young receivers, yeah. They don't like the whole young receivers thing. We just found that out pretty quick, John.
Well, and it's a legitimate question, and it's a legitimate thing for people to wonder about. Do you need a veteran guy in that room? I maintain that if these guys are developing properly, meaning Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee, we just heard from Allen Hurns, and if they're developing, Brian, and you see it as you should, these guys should start looking like veterans. It's hard to imagine that when you're talking to them as rookies, but something in that 4 or 5 months away and coming back, when I talk to Allen, he sounds a lot more like a veteran than he did last year, and I think that's key. And if that happens with two of those guys, I think Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, to me, are very close to being that maturity level, and Marquise Lee's on his way. If that happens, then I think they have a more mature room than people think.
Well, first of all, someone should tell Allen Hurns that you always would rather be called a young receiver than that old guy in the room.
Sure.
You know, when are they going to replace him?
Right.
This is a young man's game, Allen, so don't forget that. Pardon me. You're absolutely right. With Jerry Sullivan in the room, mm-hmm. you have all the veteran leadership that you need. He's a terrific coach. And I'm not saying anything about his age, but he's an older coach.
Sure.
He's been around. Robinson and Hurns both, and Robinson was fun to watch during the minicamps and the OTAs.
Absolutely.
Because we didn't get to see him last year. I mean, this was that progression that we expected. The word on him out of Penn State was that he was a mature guy. He was a guy who understood how to play like a pro, and we've seen that. Mm-hmm. Hurns, what can you say about the guy?
Yeah.
I mean, every time you ask him a question, he looks you in the eye and gives you a straight answer. From the first day of minicamp, he's like, can you do this again? You know, I mean, he's just been the same consistent guy. If Marquise Lee can take that next jump, mm-hmm. and I would think it would be fair to expect him to make it later this year,
sure.
since he's missed so much time, then you've got a nice core of receivers, and forget the fact that they're young. I mean, they're just good young receivers.
A lot of fans go back to the whole Jimmy and Keenan debate. You know, that's the duo that everybody looks at in team history, but Jimmy had been around a bit before he came to the Jaguars, right?
Well, and a little bit. Had been more. I mean, Jimmy was drafted, had the appendectomy and the broken leg with the Cowboys and the Eagles, so he had a little bit. Keenan had been around as an 11th round pick of the Redskins, and he'd been with the Bears a little.
11th round pick in 90 and got here, or I'm sorry, 91.
Got here in 96.
And got here in 96. So they had been on the field a lot, but they had been around the league enough to, I think they both knew how to work.
Right.
And how to be pros by that point.
Right.
These guys are on a little bit more of an accelerated path, but I'm not going to compare these guys to that group. I mean,
no.
That duo was special all time. But there is potential here to be the best since that, I think.
I'll say this. No one knew that they were going to be special. I mean, you could see the talent in Jimmy, and he had that game in Denver at the end of the 95 season where he scored 3 touchdowns 3 different ways,
mm-hmm.
blocked the punt, returned the kick, caught the pass. And you're like, okay, yeah, well, he might have something there. But they didn't think enough of him not to bring in Keenan and not to bring in Andre Rison. So they didn't know. And then I'll never forget hearing the story. After his first minicamp practice here as a Jacksonville Jaguar, some coaches said, how are we going to explain this guy to the owner, right? He was not impressive in his first minicamp, and people were scratching their heads. So,
but then by the next one, by 96,
by 97,
start to see.
Yeah.
Later in 96. Going in a minicamp, you started seeing things.
Well, Keenan was that 96
quickly.
Minicamp where
you went,
whoa, okay, what's going on here?
He developed quickly, but
the quarterback had a lot to do with that.
Bunch.
The quarterback had a lot to do with that.
Sure.
As Mark Brunell got better, those guys all of a sudden became better.
And the reason I brought it up is because I think that was the point. Those guys at least had been pros in the league for a while before they came here and started working that
right.
well
They had also
together.
Been on other teams around other things to know how to translate it to here.
Exactly. Some news around the league. We start with the Jaguars announcing that 10 training camp practices will be open to the public. It starts July 31st. That one is open to season ticket members only. There's a Mandarin High School practice under the lights on a Monday night, August 3rd, and then the scrimmage in the stadium August 8th also. So that's about as many as they had last year, about 10 or so, right?
Yeah, they're open right up until I think the day before the sort of walkthrough-ish practice leading into the first preseason game. That's pretty normal right now.
Yeah.
And that's about enough. I mean, you just see people wilting out there in the heat at some point in time.
It's but fans love that stuff, man. This is what they live for.
A couple of weeks is the right amount to have open, and at some point, the team has to ratchet back the openness to start getting ready and start being able to game plan things that you want to have as a surprise going into the season.
That's a shout.
I heard a grumble from you.
Oh, I can't remember.
I was closing the ball.
Well, no. I just never hear anybody say I live for training camp in the heat. I hear them saying I live for Sunday. So,
okay, fair enough. Also, news from the National Football League this week in the United Kingdom that the league and Tottenham Hotspur have confirmed an agreement for games at a new stadium, the soccer club building a new stadium in North London, and they've signed a 10-year agreement for two games a year starting in 2018 at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Huge news, I guess, right?
Well, it means there's going to be at least two games over there for 10 years. So,
and that's just at that stadium, right, and it doesn't eliminate other possibilities, too, at Wembley or other places.
I think we're working to the point where you'll see eight games a year over there. I mean, that makes the most sense because you can expose London to all of the different teams, and then you're not having one team that's over there with all the challenges of that. Plus, and I've said this, as a what's the right way to describe this? I mean, that's a fledgling NFL market. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine having a 4-12 team over there in a 90,000 seat stadium? No way. Now you put variety in there and you will fill every stadium that you play in to the brim with people all over Europe that want to watch NFL football. I think that's the best case scenario.
And with that many, you have a chance for maybe a team to experiment with an away home, which it wouldn't surprise me if eventually this happened here. So it gives you a little more flexibility without committing to maybe the early season or the late season games. And it gives you a chance to keep it more in the middle of the season, which I think is a positive.
And that new stadium, by the way, is around 60,000 seats for Tottenham Hotspur.
Which is,
it's about the size of regular NFL stadiums.
Sure. That's about the size of a good NFL stadium, somewhere in the low 60s.
Yeah, that's the way that works. Also, some more news. Fireworks are bad for NFL players, apparently. We heard about Jason Pierre-Paul earlier this weekend. But today, news coming out that one of the Buccaneers players, C.J. Wilson, has a hand injury from fireworks as well.
Yeah.
What do we got?
I stay away from
them. I mean, come on.
I stay away from anything dangerous.
Oh, really?
No, I roll.
Yeah. You don't live dangerously at all.
No, I don't believe in it. It's obviously there's...
It's crazy.
Fireworks are dangerous.
Apparently so.
You heard it here first.
Thanks, John. Brian's staying out of this one.
No, I had a pack of firecrackers go off in my hand when I was about 11 years old, and I learned a valuable lesson. I didn't burn it, but I couldn't feel my hand for about 3 days. So I learned. Use that stick thing and light it from afar.
Good idea.
Yeah. Use the stick thing.
Use the stick thing. It's time for a game we call... It's called This or That, and I've lost track of the all-time scoring, but John's winning.
That stick thing, by the way, is called a punk.
Oh, good.
Really?
Selfie stick.
Selfie stick?
Yeah.
It's not a selfie stick, apparently. Punk. Summertime, do you like the break or do you miss the action?
I like the break to a point because I learned a long time ago from David Lamb, not to wish your life away. The football season will get here soon enough. We got training camp, and then it's a long season. But, I miss the action to a point. But I like a break, and goodness knows you like a break.
Yeah. Yes, I do like a break. I like the calm before the storm.
Yeah.
I like the anticipation this time of year where literally everybody can look towards training camp and the first couple of preseason games and see some success, see where you can make strides and improve. So I really enjoy this time of the year before training camp starts.
John, you mentioned David Lamb, so you win.
That might go the other way.
How about that?
I did, too.
It's a break. There's time for the season when the season gets here. Number two, the top story, of course, is the quarterback this season and into the preseason and all that and training camp. But what's another storyline to watch?
Offensive line, to me. And, they've got a brand-new coach who was a former head coach in Buffalo who walked away from his contract. So, I mean, right there, Doug Marrone is a big story. But you've got a left tackle who was the second overall pick of the draft, and everyone's looking at him. When are you going to play to that level? You've got a battle going on now. You've got a highly paid veteran at left guard who didn't have a great year last year, and then they go and draft a young kid in the third round, Can, from South Carolina. You got two centers who are competing, and you got a high-dollar free agent over on the right side. I mean, I think it's a fascinating group to watch throughout training camp.
Well, I let Brian go first, so he's going to win this one because offensive line is absolutely the story. I'll go with secondary. I think the secondary.
He let me go first. I actually jumped into the microphone, but that's okay.
I heard that. I get a lot of questions about the secondary. Is it ready to make a jump about Jonathan Cyprian? You know, I think the depth at cornerback makes the secondary at this team of this team potentially a strength that not enough people are talking about. The cornerback position could make this secondary much, much better this year.
Brian Sexton, a very detailed argument and a very good one.
I thought it was simple, but when John gives me the nod, done deal.
Simple but detailed at the same time.
Okay.
It's very nice. It's 1-1. Going into number 3, who will be this summer's breakout story and who will people be excited about after the scrimmage?
Well, you know, it's difficult because we're so close to it during OTAs.
Yeah.
So we covered a lot of the stories. If you weren't paying attention during OTAs, then I think the breakout story after that scrimmage could be Allen Robinson, because I think between him and Julius Thomas, you've got some real weapons in that receiver and tight end core. So if you were paying attention during OTAs, we all talked about Allen Robinson so much that I don't know if it's a surprise or a breakout, but I do think that he has a chance to have a big training camp and be somebody people start talking about during the preseason.
I'll say Chris Smith. And I think he's gone forgotten in a lot of circles because there was so much attention paid to Dante Fowler Jr. and the injury, and they immediately went to Branch and Clemens, and how do you solve this? How do you figure that out? But Smith is a guy that Todd Wash really was high on in his development last year, a guy who had made some strides. He's 6'2". He's got really long arms. He's that prototypical Leo kind of guy, and he's motivated. I talked to him right before they left. And he's a guy that has the attributes physically and mentally to make a jump. Played in the SEC, understands how to play the game at the highest level, and I think he thinks he's ready to take a jump this year. So I think after the scrimmage, maybe before the first preseason game, a lot of people are going to be anxious to watch Chris Smith line up at Leo.
And boy, if he does, what a draft class. I mean, it's already turned into a good rookie class.
Oh, yeah.
You get one or two more guys like that. Boy.
No doubt.
Yeah, talented guy.
And that
no
boy
doubt.
Probably isn't enough
boy
for me to win that.
Brian Sexton going deep on the depth chart for a win today.
Well,
I even tried to circumvent him with a little add-in. Didn't work.
Nope, it all didn't right. at all.
I think I deserve it. Yeah, I think I deserve it.
Well done, Brian.
Thanks.
That's a great job. Get more in 2015. Become a Jaguars season ticket member. Get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Of course, the stadium experience at Everbank, recently voted number one by the fans in the NFL. Great seating options are available for any budget. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call and speak to an account manager today at 633-2000. Well done, guys. In the heat of the Florida summer here, we're getting through.
I'm glad we didn't do this show outside.
Oh, God. I won't be here next week. I will be in Wyoming where it will be 43 degrees in the cool evening, and I can't wait.
I'll envy you.
Have fun with that. For Brian Sexton, John Osier, everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. Thanks for watching. Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.